Hello and welcome to episode 449 of the official EstablishTheRun.com podcast. My name is Adam Levitan, as always joined by Evan Silva. We are coming off of a very interesting week three that saw Lamar Jackson break the slate. Once again, Evan, how's it going?
Yeah, it's going pretty well. It was an injury-riddled slate, I thought. A lot of big injuries on offensive lines, you know, to some critical, very key running backs, the Sterling Shepard thing last night. We'll get to all of it.
Yes. On today's show, we're going to go team by team through each NFC squad, talking through everything we saw, all the injuries, all the usage, what it all means. Before we get into a reminder that weekly and monthly options for our in-season, aka DFS package, are up on the site right now. This is when it matters the most, to have the most reliable data and analysis. I know I've been saying it all summer. No one takes projecting how football players will play on Sundays more seriously than us. You get Silva's matchups, showdown analysis, ownership projections, really everything we think you need to win. Also, this podcast is brought to you by our friends at Underdog Fantasy. We just added for subscribers two new ranking sets, Underdog for Battle Royale, which is essentially best ball for 1 week. And then we also added Underdog rankings for their resurrection tournament. Starts in week six, ends in week 17. A lot of fun doing best ball, snake drafts, obviously throughout the whole season. Use promo code ETR when you sign up for Underdog Fantasy. They will match your first deposit up to $100. Promo code ETR at underdogfantasy.com. All right, Evan, let's start with the king of the fake sharps, Cliff Kingsbury and the Arizona Cardinals. You know, I know they've had a reasonably tough schedule. They're 27th in yards per play, and they're dead last, 32nd in yards per play allowed. I mean, one of the worst teams in the league. They got that miraculous 20-0 comeback win over the Raiders on their resume. But, I mean, the team is just bad. And to me, that's the James Conner take. And I know, you know, I didn't feel great about James Conner as a non-explosive player in the third round of season-long drafts. Roll is fine. Roll, you could say, is good when he hasn't left the game early. But, man, I mean, dude can't even get 3.5 yards a carry. Dude is struggling under the weight of the Cardinals' offense and the lack of efficiency. I think any hope for big James Conner games going forward, and what else did you see from Arizona's game in week three?
Well, I don't think that, you know, he hasn't had the greatest matchups either. I thought it was sort of promising that we saw him get 21 touches and be the clear leader in the backfield. Darrell Williams and Eno Benjamin did both see action in the game, but, you know, coming off that ankle injury, he was able to rebound, you know, and bounce back and be a 20 touch player, or what do you have now? I guess 16, my fault. Yeah, I mean, but I agree with you. Like, the offense has a lot of problems. The scheme isn't great. It's just, you know, hopefully Kyler can do something to save us each and every week. And, you know, I mean, I think that even Kyler has been disappointing from a fantasy standpoint.
He's not running.
Yeah, he's not running like he used to. And he's, I mean, he's going to bounce, you know, he's going to have some peak moments just because he's such a great athlete. But, I mean, they're trotting out like true scrubs in the pass catcher core behind Marquise Brown. Marquise Brown did show that he can have, you know, that big target game, that he's got that in his range of potential outcomes. Maybe things will get better when DeAndre Hopkins returns, but it's been a real bad start. They're one of the worst teams in the league, no question.
Kyler has been outrushed by Joe Burrow from both a carry and yards perspective. I mean, it's crazy how little Kyler is running now. Obviously, that's a major concern for his fantasy outlook going forward. Not that he can't do it, because we know that he can, and so it could pop up at any time. But from a projectable standpoint right now, I mean, going back to last year, I mean, Kyler only averaged like 32 rush yards per game. Daniel Jones is at 27. Like, it's not that. Kyler is not Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen. He's just not. I did want to get a quick take on this Greg Dortch thing. Greg Dortch is playing the role that Rondale was supposed to play. In other words, right before the season, as they were getting ready for week one, Rondale pulls his hamstring. They're like, all right, we'll get Greg Dortch in there. Greg Dortch has played every down in the slot, 16% target share, caught 20 balls for 198 yards and one touchdown. I know there's a lot of people out there with Rondale Moore on their bench right now, Evan. I'm a little concerned that maybe Greg Dortch has done enough to kind of turn this into a timeshare with Rondale. But then I'm like, well, Rondale has so much more draft capital. He's so much more athletic. He's so much more explosive. I hope and I think that Cliff will get Rondale once the hammy is ready into that role, which has, again, been really, really good. But what do you think about Rondale Moore and Greg Dortch in season long?
Yeah, I think that Rondale will get the role back. I mean, generally coaches adhere to the theory that you don't lose your job due to an injury. And they tend to be pretty good about that. But Kingsbury had his press conference and he was like, you know, Rondale isn't necessarily going to be back this week. So he's just a stash on season long benches. And it's kind of disappointing. I took a good amount of him in best ball.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of disappointing, a little frustrating to see Dortch like racking up very PPR viable performances in a role in which that was ticketed for Rondale Moore.
Yeah, 100%. I think Rondale would be playing just as well, if not better, than Greg Dortch is playing right now. So kind of unlucky there for Rondale Moore drafters. Let's go to Atlanta. So another huge game for Cordarrelle Patterson. I mean, clearly the dude can play the running back position at the NFL at a really high level. My concern is that Marcus Mariota has dropped back 58 times the last 2 weeks, and it's only been 25 routes and 2 targets for CPAT. So in a lot of these games where Atlanta gets behind, obviously they weren't behind by a lot against Seattle, but in games where Atlanta gets behind, it's not going to be as strong for CPAT, I don't think. Also, we had a big Kyle Pitts first half. I mean, we had over 41 and a half yards in props for Kyle Pitts. He hits that in like the first drive, but the second half was back to being ugly for Kyle Pitts. But it was at least good to see him come alive a little bit. What do you see out of the Falcons game against the Seahawks?
Yeah, the Seahawks defense is real bad, and we're going to be teeing off on that all season long. Marcus Mariota was just hyper efficient. The Falcons are running play action on almost half of their offensive plays or their offensive pass plays. And Marcus Mariota in this game was like throwing the ball deep downfield. Kyle Pitts is number 2 among tight ends, as Leone noted this morning, number 2 among tight ends in air yards behind only Mark Andrews. He's going to get big play chances down the field based on the way this team is scheming, because they're being very aggressive vertically, which is not necessarily something that Marcus Mariota has done historically, but Arthur Smith feels comfortable with him doing that. In this game, he averaged 11 and a half yards per pass attempt.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I do really like Pitts and Drake London just as talents. And so, you know, Mariota is going to get elevated by those guys, I think, at least a little bit. The problem with me for Atlanta is, and why I'd be trying to sell Cordarrelle Patterson, is their next games are against Browns, Bucks, 49ers, Bengals, Panthers. I mean, it's not the easiest stretch coming up here for Atlanta to get leads, and not the easiest stretch for CPAT to run against. Go to Carolina. So I was really high on DJ Moore coming into the season. And I talked about it on the solo pod a little bit. I know that he saw Marshon Lattimore. I think he saw a lot of Marshon Lattimore in this game against the Saints. I actually don't know that for sure, but I think he saw a lot of Marshon Lattimore in this game. But my take on DJ Moore is his catch rate this year is 39%. For his career before this year, it was 60%. I mean, I understand that Baker is absolutely awful and they're hiding him and Baker is a mess. I didn't think that Baker could be worse than Sam Darnold, than Kyle Allen, than the corpse of Cam Newton, than all these other quarterbacks that DJ Moore has performed really, really well with. I can't believe that Baker is worse than him. DJ Moore is still seeing 23% of the targets. Now he gets a game against Arizona. So I'm not giving up, but I also don't want to say, oh, this is just small sample meaningless nonsense, because it's not. I mean, I have major concerns about DJ Moore, but I'm certainly not giving up, and I'm not giving up on a guy who's seeing 23.3% of his team's targets and gets to face the Cardinals next. So what do you think about DJ Moore, Evan, and then anything else on the Panthers, who were able to kind of dominate defensively against the Saints?
Yeah, so I think that, I had a hope that as they hired Ben McAdoo, that he would use DJ Moore almost like he did with Odell Beckham with the Giants. And that was like throw a ton, you know, get him on crossers and slants and just get him the ball, you know, on the move. The thing is that Eli Manning could like execute that quick passing game. And they needed that in New York because their offensive line was really bad. The Panthers' offensive line is really bad, but Baker Mayfield, like, can't play that way. That's not his game. I don't even know what his game is, honestly, at this point. I mean, now he's, you know, he had a very nice rookie season, and, like, he keeps getting worse.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like he's going, like, the Sam Darnold route, you know? And it's kind of sad. I mean, one more game of DJ Moore. If he can't do it against the Cardinals, I'd start to become skeptical that he's going to be able to do it. I hate to say that as somebody who was pretty darn high on DJ Moore entering the season.
Yeah, I mean, probably the worst season-long take that I have right now is DJ Moore in the third round was like a smash, and that's obviously been really, really bad. The Christian McCaffrey stuff kills me, man. People are still complaining about Christian McCaffrey. He has the league's best usage at the running back position. The league's best. He's playing 90%+ of the snaps. He has a 17% target share. He had a 25 carry game. I mean, how many running backs in the NFL can say this? Saquon Barkley, you know, like Leonard Fournette, like that's basically it. And so for people to be complaining about what they're getting from Christian McCaffrey is absolutely insane to me. He only has one touchdown. They're going to run more plays. So I just, if you're complaining about Christian McCaffrey, I just don't get it.
It sounds like a buy low opportunity.
Yeah. We have him fourth. Obviously, before the season, we had him first, but we thought there was that clear first tier. Now we have Christian McCaffrey fourth. Like, it's not like there's anything to worry about. He's totally fine. All right, Chicago. So David Montgomery hurt his ankle, knee. They're not specifying exactly. They're calling it lower leg right now. They're calling him day-to-day, though. It doesn't sound serious. Khalil Herbert, once again, proved that he can really, really play. He's played at least 30 snaps in an NFL game 5 times. In each of those games, he's carried the ball at least 18 times, 3 games over 90 yards, scored 3 touchdowns. I mean, he's played really, really well when given opportunities over the last 2 years. That includes 20-157-2 evisceration of the Texans on Sunday after David Montgomery left. And it's exacerbated, this running back spot is, because the Bears just don't want to throw the ball. Justin Fields has dropped back 65 times in 3 games. Josh Allen dropped back 73 times in 1 game on Sunday. I mean, 65 times in 3 games to drop back that few times is like almost impossible. So we know what the Bears want to do. We know what they're going to do. What do you think about their game against the Texans and anything else on Fields or Herbert?
Justin Fields, like maybe Mike Marks was right about Justin Fields. I mean, Justin Fields like isn't very good right now. You know, he's a slow processor. He holds onto the ball too long. It's such a bad mix behind a bad offensive line that actually has held up okay. I mean, about as well as you could have expected considering their personnel. With Khalil Herbert, I think it's a good example of, you know, a lot of fantasy analysts will say, don't draft handcuffs. And I get that, but you definitely want to draft other handcuffs, you know, the handcuffs to other running backs, because running backs get hurt, man. I mean, they run into, depending on how many touches they get, like, you know, 16 to 25 car crashes on a weekly basis. So Khalil Herbert was an awesome draft pick. There was never any guarantee that Dave Montgomery was going to get hurt. It seems to me like he's probably not going to play this week. And if he does not, then Khalil Herbert is going to be – I mean, Khalil Herbert is really freaking good. He's really good.
And just one quick point on the injury stuff at running back. Like, Christian McCaffrey is still likely to get hurt this year, but no more likely than any other running back. I just want to put that point out there one more time. I know a lot of people are probably asking, can I drop – Darnell Mooney. I think I would actually rather hold Kadarius Toney right now than Darnell Mooney if you're looking for like a cutoff of where to have it. I mean, I just don't see it on Darnell Mooney with the way the Bears are playing right now. If you had Darnell Mooney in season long, Evan, would you be okay dropping him, or what do you think?
It just, you know, it always depends on the context of your league and the you know, how big your benches are. I mean, It's really disappointing because there was legitimate rapport and chemistry there between Fields and Mooney last year, but there has been no progress from Justin Fields, and there's clearly no trust from the coaching staff in the passing game, you know? So it's just, it sucks.
Yeah. Let's go to Dallas in this game last night to get the win over the Giants, you know. Tony Pollard played another really good game. His lack of involvement in the pass game is so tilting. He only ran 9 routes last night on 31 Cooper Rush dropbacks. Tony Pollard all season has only lined up slot or wide 20 times all year. So, you know, he needs to have really big, really efficient rushing games. And he does that because he's so, so good. And he's also closing the gap on Zeke in terms of their carry share on a week-to-week basis. The other note that I had here is that Dak, there were some like light rumors. Dak says he might be able to play week four. I'm still like super, super skeptical on that for sure. But what'd you see out of Dallas's win up in New York last night?
Yeah, Dak had a quote today I saw that said he's not playing this week, but he's targeting week five against the Rams.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, the thing with Pollard's really good, and I think Zeke is running well. He clearly does not have the big playability that does Tony Pollard. But Ezekiel Elliott looks really good between the tackles right now. You know, got in the end zone last night. Cooper Rush, you got to give hats off to him. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been around a while. He was actually on the Giants for a minute. You know, he's gotten cut several times. He's playing really well. Is he now 3-0 as a starter?
I think so.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
Yep.
You know, he's not going to light it up, but he's clearly playing well enough to get the ball to CeeDee Lamb so that he can remain a significant fantasy factor. And he had a really bad drop of, I think it would have gone for six in this game.
If you guys didn't see it, probably the worst drop I've ever seen from a wide receiver. Yeah, it was like brutal. It was really bad.
It was really bad. But he came back, you know, and resilience. I mean, he bounced back and he played an awesome game. He had a sick touchdown catch here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's had some hands issues, no question. But, man, he really can ball. And I think that where we were on him coming out of week one, where he had that really bad week one game, they lost Dak Prescott. Like, I feel a lot better about CeeDee Lamb right now. Yeah. And Noah Brown has like, been productive, and he's never been productive in his entire football playing career, even including Ohio State.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Cooper Rush clearly, you know, can get the ball, and he has a home game against Washington here in week four, certainly a reasonable spot there. Michael Gallup mm-hmm. was not able to come back for this game. We had him projected in. There was an expectation he was going to play. They scratch him on Monday morning, but I still think Michael Gallup is close. And I kind of like having him on benches, on teams, on season long teams, get Dak back, get Michael Gallup in that Noah Brown role. And he'll obviously, I think, be a better fit than Noah Brown is. Let's go to Detroit. Man, the tilt on this game was massive for hashtag restore the roar, hashtag our Lions. I mean, they blew a 10-point fourth quarter lead in ridiculous fashion. And it's also frustrating the way that they handled DeAndre Swift. DeAndre Swift hurt his ankle in week one. They don't really give him a rest. He practices. He plays in the games. He continues to get banged up. Craig Reynolds is in there, and then he hurts his shoulder. Now they're saying, okay, fine. We're going to shut down DeAndre Swift for a couple weeks. I would not expect to see DeAndre Swift until after the Lions bye, which I believe is in week six. And so obviously Jamal Williams is one of the premier waiver ads of the week, especially when they have a home game against the Seahawks coming up. Evan, what did you see out of the Lions just painfully blowing that game against the Vikings?
Yeah, they're doing what they did last year again, and that's losing all these damn close games, you know, and they're going to be in a lot of close games this year because they're going to give up a lot of points and they're going to score a lot of points. For our Lions to hit this win total over, and I still feel all right about it, they got to start to close out these games.
Yeah.
I have to give a shout out to my buddy from college, Kellen. He's in the Discord. He's like, because we have like a text thread and we, you know, do some betting ideas and stuff. And he was the one who came up with the idea to do Jamal Williams 100-1 to lead the NFL in rushing touchdowns. And he's all texting me. He's like, you got to say something. We're talking about it in the Discord. Because it went from 100-1 to 14-1. Jamal Williams now has four rushing TDs. And DeAndre Swift is going to be out for some time. So shout out, Kellen. It was his idea. Yeah, I guess I stole it. I didn't know that you can steal betting ideas, but I learned that from Daigle last year. So, hopefully we get that. But it looks like Swift is definitely going to miss this week and probably 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Where are you at on Amon-Ra St. Brown?
So I thought he was affected by the ankle. So he was on his way to another big game, rolls his ankle, and he like wasn't separating like he normally does. And so that's a concern. I think he's probably going to play, but I'd be a little bit worried as his price really gets expensive now on DraftKings. I think he was like close to $8,000 now on DraftKings. And so that's a concern for me. But yeah, Amon-Ra, I don't see any reason to think that a healthy Amon-Ra should be sold high or anything like that, riding him to the finish line They play the Seahawks. Play the AFC. Pod won't have Mac Jones and two games in a row here and head into the week six bye at 3-2.
Also, Josh Reynolds, 4 yards short of the bonus.
Yes. Oh.
Dang it.
Yes.
Dang it.
Anybody who heard the Friday night show last week, Evan predicted that Josh Reynolds was the part that you needed in your Goff stacks. I vehemently argued that it was DJ Chark, and Evan won again. And so Josh Reynolds had a great.
I don't know about again.
Yeah. Josh Reynolds had a great game. What do you think about adding Josh Reynolds? I'm still kind of skeptical, but what do you think about adding him?
I mean, if Amon-Ra's going to miss time, and look, Josh Reynolds is a perimeter receiver. I don't think we're going to see him go in the slot where Amon-Ra has been balling. But, I mean, he's got the connect. This was a particularly good matchup, which is why I liked him. But, I mean, he's running a lot of routes. They're scoring a lot of points. They're going to have to score a lot of points. So, he should definitely be rostered in 20-man season-long leagues, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, he kind of reminds me of Mac Hollins, like kind of just a player in a good offense who's running deep down the field and, like, you know.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. I think he's better than Mac Hollins, but
Let's go to Green Bay. So this was Romeo Dubs' big chance, man. I mean, Sammy Watkins was out. Christian Watson was out. I mean, they were desperate. They were playing this Tampa team, which funnels action to the air. And Romeo Dubs took advantage. 34 routes on 36 dropbacks. Leads the team in targets with 8. Has a really, really good game. I mean, Romeo Dubs is now the second betting choice to be the offensive rookie of the year. I think the question is, has he earned Aaron Rodgers' trust enough to be a full-time player going forward? Even when Christian Watson gets back, even if Sammy Watkins gets back, et cetera, et cetera. What's your long-term outlook on Romeo Dubs now and anything else you saw from the Packers?
Yeah, and shout out to Wiggins, who was very high on Romeo Dubs this week. This was not a good matchup. It wound up being even lower scoring than it was forecast to be, and it was forecast to be one of the lowest scoring games on the slate. After the game, and I think that this is big for your sort of rhetorical question about whether Aaron Rodgers trusts Romeo Dubs. After the game, Matt LaFleur was talking about how Romeo Dubs was just winning against man coverage. And the Packers are going to get a lot of man coverage because teams don't trust their receivers, or they don't think much of their receivers.
Yeah, don't fear them. Yeah.
Yes, they don't fear them. So they're going to get a lot of man coverage. And, if a dude is winning against man coverage, and Alan Lazard, he can win with size, but he doesn't really like beat man coverage. If a dude can win against man coverage, Aaron Rodgers is going to throw him the ball.
Yeah.
So, and I think in this perfect 8 of 8 for 73 in a TD, like, I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be throwing him the ball.
Yeah. I mean, Romeo Dubs should not be on any waivers. I doubt in any serious league he was ever been on waivers, but he definitely should not be on waivers now. I'm certainly intrigued by Romeo Dubs' long-term outlook. We also did the awards show. We talked about Offensive Rookie of the Year a bunch. If you guys can check that out, it is on the site if you are an in-season subscriber. Rams. The Cam Akers thing keeps happening, man. I mean, week one, he was clearly in the doghouse, 19% of the running back carries. Week two, 60% of the running back carries. Week three, Cam Akers gets 75% of the running back carries. A little disappointing for me because I thought Darrell Henderson was a really good zero RB candidate for season long, but he's getting iced now by Cam Akers, at least as a runner. In the pass game, they're still using Darrell Henderson plenty. Kind of an ugly game here for the Rams against the Cardinals. What do you see out of the Rams?
Their offense still is just not, it's not firing on all cylinders, like, at all, whereas it was for most of last season. Mm-hmm. Their offensive line isn't as good. Akers was okay here. I mean, he did lose a fumble. Mm-hmm. They don't really have a vertical threat right now in their offense. Obviously, the going has been slow for Allen Robinson, who went 2 for 23 on 5 targets here. I don't know. In order to raise our expectations for really anybody within the Rams offense, like, they're going to have to just show the improvement because they've come out real, real slow. They're not remotely what they were doing last year.
Yeah, certainly do not look explosive whatsoever. And I think the run game is kind of, like, broken. Like, I didn't give the Cam Akers stat because I'm excited about playing Cam Akers at all. Like, the run game is, I don't think it's going to be efficient whatsoever. And Akers is going to lose pass down work to Daryl Henderson. So it's not like I'm excited about him at all. Vikings. I'm a little disappointed that Irv Smith didn't play more. Irv Smith only 25 routes on 42 Kirk Cousins dropbacks. I mean, he's so far removed from the finger issue now. I wish he was playing every snap like Kevin O'Connell used Tyler Higbee when he was with the Rams, but he's not right now. Irv Smith is earning targets, though, six targets on just 25 routes run. The big news, of course, though, was Dalvin Cook hurting his shoulder. Dalvin Cook has a long history of shoulder issues. He's used to popping it out, getting it back in, et cetera, et cetera. I assume that's what's going on here, but he seems likely to miss some time, I think. I assume Alexander Mattison is owned in most leagues. If he's not, he should, of course, be added. We have a big history of Alexander Mattison balling out as a full-time back. What did you see out of Minnesota's comeback win over the Lions?
Yeah, I just wanted to note that I saw Dalvin Cook's injury referred to as a dislocation of his shoulder, which aligns with your, you know, you characterizing him like popping it in and out. I remember the reason they didn't go in the first round of the draft coming out of Florida State was because he had two shoulder surgeries in college, and he's had at least one in the pros and probably multiple.
Yeah.
So this is a troubling injury. I guess you could say it's one that he's played through, but it's also one that like is clear. It's not going away.
Yeah.
He's probably, you know, when he's 45, he's going to be waking up like having shoulder pain, you know, at night. I mean, this is rough. Like this is a long history. Alexander Mattison is an absolute baller. The Vikings offensive line has looked really good this year. It's been one of the strengths of the team. Christian Darrisaw, their first round pick from a couple years back, is balling out at left tackle. The passing game, you know, we need to address Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
Is the big story here. And I saw a nice breakdown from Rich Gannon on him. Rich Gannon, a great analyst, you know, not just one of these talking head guys. And he broke down how Justin Jefferson, well, he thought that it was partially, you know, they are breaking in a new offense. Kirk hasn't played well in the last two games. He played really well in the first game, hasn't played well in the last two games, but there is some blame that lies with Justin Jefferson. He is not like finishing his routes and he's getting pushed around a lot. Now he did face Darius Slay in week two.
Mm-hmm.
And this past week, Jeff Okuda, who, you know, when he's a top five pick, tore his Achilles, he's made a great recovery. He had an awesome game against Justin Jefferson, but like teams are beating him up close to the line of scrimmage. He isn't finishing at the top of his routes. And he also, he's not playing well, and the passing offense has not been in sync for the last 2 weeks. I think everything's going to be okay. I think Justin Jefferson is a really good player, and Kirk is going to get it together. But that's just what's been going on so far.
Yeah, I mean, three catches for 14 yards on six targets against the Lions was one of the most shocking results of the week, I would say. I did think Adam Thielen played a pretty good game for considering his age and his status in the league. But yeah, I mean, I'm not worried about Justin Jefferson, but definitely worth addressing.
One other thing I want to say is that he's not playing in the slot. And I think we mentioned this last week a little bit, but I want to reiterate, he is not playing in the slot as much as we expected.
Mm-hmm.
They made it sound like he was going to be a slot receiver this year. He was a slot receiver for his massive year at LSU. He's been mostly a perimeter receiver this year.
Yeah. Not the best. I mean, that's not the best, especially if you were thinking has the Cooper Kupp role. And so we still have Justin Jefferson in the top four, I believe, of our rest of season, top 150. But yeah. Saints. Alvin Kamara came back, and I thought his usage was really good. I mean, he played 70% of the snaps, handled 75% of the running back carries, hit an 18% target share. It's just efficiency, man. Like, we knew this with the Saints, and this was my whole thing on Michael Thomas and on Kamara too. I mean, when you don't have Drew Brees and you don't have Sean Payton, you're going to have efficiency decline, period. Also, Jameis Winston is dealing with his back issue. Michael Thomas hurt his foot. Jarvis Landry hurt his ankle. Like, none of those three injuries sound serious, but it's just adding up on an offense that already is inefficient and has problems. What do you see out of the Saints? I mean, their offense was egregious in Carolina.
Yeah, jeez, man. 14 points against the Panthers. Their offensive line has been a little disappointing, especially in pass protection. Winston's throwing the ball to the other team again, which is not good, and he has a long history of doing that. Chris Olave capitalized on his opportunity. We knew it was coming, right?
Yeah.
It was just a matter of time, and he was able to do it here. I mean, I still think he's going to lead the team in receiving yards.
Yeah. That's been the take since before the season. And also, I think he was 8-1 now. Drake London is the favorite to be Offensive Rookie of the Year. I think 8-1 on Olave to be Offensive Rookie of the Year is at least worth considering. He's so good.
Go. Goose egg for everybody's favorite punt tight end, Juwan Johnson.
Yeah, you know, he's running a route on like 60 to 70% of Jameis Winston dropbacks. And, you know, he's Juwan Johnson. So you're obviously going to have a really, really low floor. Only earned one target here. Troutman got a target on way fewer routes. And Vanette got a target also. Yeah, just is what it is on these punt tight ends. Giants. I mean, they didn't need to lose Sterling Shepard, man. I mean, that was brutal. Sterling Shepard seems like a good dude. Just got back from the Achilles, was playing really well. One of the last plays of the game last night, he blows out his knee, which, you know, maybe would be okay for the Giants, except Kadarius Toney can't get on the field, or they don't want to put him on the field. Kenny Galladay is just so bad, he can't even be out there. They lost Colin Johnson. Colin Johnson would have been like an every down player for them. They lost Colin Johnson in the preseason. Wan'Dale Robinson can't get out there. That said, I'm not dropping Kadarius Toney. I mean, we get asked all the time, can I drop Kadarius Toney? I'm not dropping Kadarius Toney, man. They need him so, 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 so bad. I think it'd be crazy to drop Kadarius Toney right now, but it's just hard to have good offense when you're playing David Sills and Rishi James and Daniel Bellinger as your primary weapons. It's just really, really hard. So what do you see out of the Giants' loss to the Cowboys last night?
Well, you broke down all the negativity. I still think Saquon looks awesome.
Yep.
He's all the way back. I think he's playing the best football of his career, actually.
We had Saquon under 81 and a half rush yards last night, and it landed on 81. What a so crazy. Anyways, go ahead.
So you get your money back, right? It's like, it's almost like winning.
No, we did win. It was 81 and a half. 81 and a half.
Oh, 81 and a half. Oh, yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. He still played really, really well. He's very involved in the passing game. He's running between the tackle. I've never seen him run with such conviction between the tackles. He just has like full confidence right now. The big play ability is there. I feel great about Saquon right now.
Home game against the Bears for Saquon coming up next. He's like 8K on DraftKings. I'm sure he's going to be very, very, very popular. The Eagles, favorites now, I think, come out of the NFC. I mean, Jalen Hurts' improvement as a thrower, and I'm no football guy, man, but you're like blind if you can't see how much better Jalen Hurts has gotten as a thrower. He's now fifth in passer rating. He's sixth in QBR. He's ninth in completion percentage, and he's running 12 and a half times a game. I mean, this is the stuff that fantasy dreams are made of. We knew this was in his range of outcomes with A.J. Brown getting there and making a huge difference. Devontae Smith, the Heisman Trophy winner and baller, and the league's best pass blocking offensive line. So I'm just excited for the Eagles pass game. What you see out of their easy win. I mean, they kind of took their foot off the gas in the second half, but easy win over the Commanders.
Yeah. I saw some projection models so far, and they have, you know, obviously the Bills as the favorites to win the most games in the NFL this year, but the Eagles are forecasted to win the most games in the NFC.
Yeah.
And at this point that should really surprise no one.
Yeah,
because they're freaking awesome. I mean, I'm old enough to remember the fans wanting to drive Howie out of town, but he had a killer offseason. And, you know, winning the offseason doesn't always translate. But and Devontae Smith came through with that big game you'd been hoping for.
Yeah,
so that was really nice to see there. A.J. Brown is just balling out of control. Dallas Goedert with a solid game. This offense is everything we hoped it would be and more.
Based on rest of season win totals, the Eagles also have the easiest schedule in the entire NFL. I mean, their next three games are Jaguars. There's five games: Jaguars, Cardinals, Cowboys, Steelers, Texans. I mean, they're going to win so many games this year. I mean, they're just, the schedule is so soft and they're just so good. Let's go to San Francisco. So, yeah, I think people have been underrating Jeff Wilson. You know, and I get that he doesn't have a huge pass game role. He can catch the football, though. He played 41 snaps in that game against Denver. Jordan Mason played five. No one else, no other running back even got a snap. So, I mean, Jeff Wilson has a feature role in a really efficient or can be an efficient run game. I think Jeff Wilson's underrated. Also, George Kittle made his 22 debut, played 91% of the snaps, 27 routes on 33 dropbacks, 17% target share, solid. Concern, Trent Williams now hurt his ankle, one of the best linemen in the entire league. He's going to be out a few weeks. Yeah. Evan, what do you see out of San Francisco's loss to the Broncos on Sunday Night Football?
I'm worried about this offensive line right now because they don't have any good offensive linemen left. They entered the season with concerns at all three interior spots. Mike McGlinchey has been – he's not good at right tackle. He's not good. And now they just lost their only good offensive lineman, as you said, one of the best players in the league. And he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. We know about high ankle sprains. We hate these injuries. Now offensive linemen can come back from them better than can skill position players. But, I mean, this dude's going to be out a month or more. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Garoppolo was really bad in this game. I think they're going to have to give the ball to Debo as a runner more, like just manufactured touches, because the pass protection is going to be problematic for the foreseeable future. One thing Matt Barrows noted in his post-game write-up, longtime 49ers beat writer, after Trent Williams went out, Colton McKivitz goes in at left tackle. George Kittle is on the line blocking, okay? He's not running routes anymore. He's helping Colton McKivitz block at left tackle in place of Trent Williams.
Yeah.
That's going to be a big concern for George Kittle going forward.
Yeah, yeah, certainly we'll be watching that. We'll be watching George Kittle's routes run for sure. I will say I thought Denver's defense played a really good game. I mean, Debo took some huge hits when he got the ball as a running back, and Denver's defense certainly played well, but...
Oh, that's another thing Kyle Shanahan noted after the game. He was like... You know, we're not surprising anybody anymore with the Debo running the ball stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we're not surprising anybody anymore. They know it's coming.
Yeah. Big game against the Rams this week for San Francisco there. They'll play that game at home. Seattle. I don't know, man. I mean, I find it funny, or at least ironic, that everybody was begging Seattle and Pete Carroll to throw the ball more when Russ Wilson was there. And he hated doing it so much that he traded Russ Wilson away. But now they have Geno Smith. They're like opening it up big time. I mean, Geno Smith is chucking the ball all over the field. I mean, the volume on DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, it's not efficient volume. It's not great volume, but it's a lot of volume. They're throwing the ball a ton. Also, Travis Homer hurt his ribs in this game, which allowed Rashad Penny and Kenneth Walker's role to expand at least a little bit. What did you see out of Seattle's game against the Falcons?
Yeah, well, you kind of covered it. There with the passing game. I think the running game is interesting. The backfield is interesting because like Rashad Penny is good, you know, and people wanted to write him off because they drafted Kenneth Walker in the second round. People were taking Kenneth Walker as the number one overall player in dynasty rookie drafts. That's not looking very good right now, is it? And I know we're three games in, okay? But to take him over some of these rookie receivers, it's looking really bad right now.
Yeah. Just generally in dynasty, I think you want to build through wide receivers anyways. That's a story for another day.
Yeah, that's a story for another day. A lot of the boomer dynasty players like to build through bad running backs on bad teams, you know, with no receiving profile. Kenneth Walker, I'm sure he's going to have a fine career, but I think that there is plenty of reason to believe that Rashad Penny is better than him right now.
I did play one. I had 8 tournament teams. I did use Rashad Penny on one of those teams. And so I thought it was fine. You know, I thought I got kind of what I expected out of Rashad Penny in that game, but they were certainly ceiling for more. Tampa Bay. So obviously this week they'll get Mike Evans back. This past week though, I mean, the receiving core was just laughable. I don't think Godwin's going to be back. The report from Jake Glazer is that Julio has a PCL injury in his knee. Certainly not good there. Everything goes through Lenny. I mean, 117 snaps the last 2 weeks for Lenny is ridiculous. Rashad White's played 15. No other running back has even gotten a snap. Lenny's role is incredible. When they get efficient again, if they get efficient again, Lenny is going to go absolutely nuclear if he sustains this role. What did you see out of the Bucs game against the Packers?
Well, the Russell Gage best ball shares got some production here.
Yeah.
They threw the ball a lot more. Than they had in the first couple of weeks. And I guess that's nice. The receiver core is just still so problematic. I don't think Tom Brady's at the top of his game. The offensive line is problematic. He scored 12 points, okay? You know, it's just it's a night and day difference from last season. And we have to lower expectations. Now, Mike Evans is going to be back this week.
Yep.
So that's going to help. He should be an absolute target vacuum. But we have to lower expectations for the majority of players in the Tampa Bay offense, because it's not the same.
Bucks play the Sunday night football game this week against the Chiefs. So everybody is going to get to see a huge game, Brady versus Mahomes. Hopefully they can do something more efficient. Then they get the Falcons at home.
Okay. Those are potentially two get right spots.
Last thing we're going to do here today on the NFC is the Washington football team. You know, we had unders on all the Washington football team stuff, mostly because we expected their plays to regress and Carson Wentz's efficiency to regress even more. They did get another 74 plays off, did Washington. I mean, they're playing fast. They're playing throw happy. But you see what happens when you drop Carson Wentz back a ton of times against good defense. He took nine sacks, did Carson Wentz. A couple other quick notes here. You see when they get behind, they just go to J.D. McKissic. J.D. McKissic ran 30 routes in this game. Antonio Gibson, just 15. And the last note I have here on Washington is this Curtis Samuel. His ADOT is just 3.3 yards. That is really low. I mean, painfully low. But he's seeing 23% of the targets on the team. They're playing throw happy. They're playing fast. So I don't want to say Curtis Samuel's like a star, but he's not going away. I mean, he's getting 2 to 3 carries, 23% of the targets on a throw heavy team. Curtis Samuel is going to be an every week starter on season long, I think, for the foreseeable future. What do you see out of Washington? I mean, I know the score didn't look that bad. They got destroyed by the Eagles.
Yeah. I mean, well, they scored 8 points.
Yeah.
So, I kind of had a feeling that this, you know, this Carson Wentz meltdown game was going to come. And sure enough, it came in, you know, the alleged, you know, revenge game.
Yeah.
It was nice to see McLaurin overcome a rough matchup. And after, you know, two sort of games where in weeks 1 and 2, where he was just keeping his head above water, you know, a little bit. So it was really nice to see him come through with a 100-yard game. Jahan Dotson still saw 8 targets. He had a bad game, but, he, you know, the targets have been there for him consistently. And, yeah, although Curtis Samuel has this really low ADOT, you know, he's getting the ball in high-percentage scenarios, and he also has 8 rushing attempts on the season. So he's an every-week starter.
Yeah. The real low ADOT guys, I just want to caution people, you need volume. Like, it's not – you can't just get, like – a couple screens a game, right, and that's it. Like, you need, you don't hit like plays, big plays down the field like that. So yeah, we need to make sure that he's still getting 6, 7, 8 targets a game. But for now, I think it looks really good for Curtis Samuel. All right. That's going to do it for the NFC team by team podcast. We'll be back later tonight with the AFC team by team podcast. For Evan, for producer Luke, I'm Adam. Good luck, everybody.